شهر الله شهر الله شهر الله
المبارك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وخاتم النبيين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين، فما تطوع خيرا فهو خير له، وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلى على محمد وآل محمد. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sooner or later, once it is determined, we'll be entering inshallah into the month of Ramadan. And as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that we heard last night during the play, that it is indeed the month of barakah, the month of rahmah, the month of forgiveness, month of maghfirah. So indeed that month is a special month. It is so unique that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His mercy, says that نومكم فيه عبادة وأنفاسكم فيه تسبيح. That even your sleep in this month is عبادة and your breath is تسبيح. Now the youth really like this part of the hadith, you know. نوم is عبادة. Great. So when the parents come to wake them up, say, my father, please don't interrupt my عبادة, you know. But there are degrees of ibadah, and we don't want to go with the lowest degree of ibadah. We want to maintain the highest degree of ibadah, inshallah, during this month. So, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, especially when He mentions this ayat that discuss about siyam. After talking about the verses of siyam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then turns to dua. Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. If my servants ask you about me, tell them I am very close. I answer the one who calls or invokes upon me. This comes immediately after the verses of Ramadan. So during this month, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this special opportunity, this special invitation, where everything we do in this month is ibadah, is worship. Then indeed we should seize this opportunity to really benefit to the maximum of this month. And as the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who is not forgiven, wal'iyadu billah, the one who is not forgiven by the end of month of Ramadan, he will never be forgiven unless he stands in Arafah. Now Allah gives another chance in Arafah, in that desert. So it is a time when we seize the opportunity. And Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamu alayhi al-Nahj al-Balagha says, "Intahizu al-Furas." Seize the opportunities. "Intahizu al-Furas fa innaha tamurru marra as-sahab." Seize the opportunities because they come and go very quickly. You know, right now, if you think about it, brothers and sisters, think about our lives. Those of you who have children who are 20 years old, 30 years old, you know, if you think about it, it was only 2 days ago that they were born. And now, mashallah, they're 30, 40 years old. They're having grandchildren. This is our life. It comes and goes in a blink. That's it. This year we're here, we don't know if we even finished this month of Ramadan or not. So why should we not think about these things, brothers and sisters? Just before I came here in Canada, 2 weeks ago, there was a young man at the age of 20, a mu'min, at the age of 20. He was working in construction. A car came and struck him and khalas, he's gone. A young man, age of 20 years old. Death does not know, young, old, doesn't know. Malakul Maut, when he comes, he comes. It is said one day, Sulaiman alayhi salam, the prophet, was sitting down, and next to him was his minister. A man comes in, gives his salam, and sits right across of Sulaiman. This man keeps on staring at the minister, stares at him. Then this man gets up and leaves. The minister turns to Sulaiman alayhi salam and he says, Ya Nabi Allah, why was this man staring at me like this? You know, he made me very uncomfortable. Who was he? Sulaiman alayhi salam said, you don't recognize him? He said, no. He said, this is Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut came. He comes sometimes to give salam. And he's been staring at you. So this man said, Ya Nabi Allah, this minister, you know, I'm afraid he wants to take my life. Please, send me somewhere away, somewhere far, far. And the Quran tells us that Sulaiman had the command of the wind. So Sulaiman alayhi salam commanded the wind to carry this man to Biladus Sindh. Biladus Sindh is today's, you know, Pakistan. Pakistan, India, that border. Biladus Sindh. So the wind carries this man. The next day, Malakul Maut comes to visit Sulaiman alayhi salam again. Sulaiman looks at him and he says, Ya Malakul Maut, you scared my minister last night. You know, take it easy on people, you know, take it easy. Don't scare them like this. Why were you staring at him like this? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed me. Within few minutes, I was supposed to take this man's life in Biladus Sindh. In Pakistan. And I was thinking the whole time, I was staring at him and thinking to myself, this man is in Bilad al-Sham. He's in Jerusalem. How is he going to go all the way to Bilad al-Sindh in a few minutes? How am I going to catch him there? That's why I was staring at him the whole time. But then when the time came, I had to obey my Lord. So I went there and I waited. And subhanallah, you know, as I was waiting, when the time happened, when the time came, he was coming to me himself. So where is my minister now? He said he's buried now in Biladus Sindh. The minister is gone. Khalas. قُلْ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Even if you are, the death will come after you, even if you are in shield and tight towers. Allah, Malakul Maut will come. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters, it is a time for us to seize this month of rahmah, this month of mercy, to be showered by Allah's mercy, because Allah's mercy is infinite. اللهم إني أسألك برحمتك التي وسعت كل شيء كل شيء. This is coming from an ayah in the Quran. My mercy has encompassed everything. So Amir al-Mu'mineen takes that and starts his dua with it. Starts the dua of Kumail with it. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters, Allah's mercy is infinite. Now, one of the things though, if we take a look at the hadith of Rasulullah, his sermon during this month of Ramadan, which is found in Mafatih al-Jinan. Also, if we take a look at the dua of Imam al-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, for sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when welcoming the month of Ramadan, which we recited last night, we understand or we find that both of those hadith, the dua, they teach us that Ramadan, if we take a look and analyze the hadith carefully, Ramadan is a time to change from within, to follow the sirat of mustaqim and never to deviate from it. That is the whole point of Ramadan. It's a time to change oneself. to improve oneself. This change has to come from within, from inside, from the heart. And then this change from the heart will stem onto your organs and onto your body on the outside. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in this ayat that we recited just now, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ What? Have it memorized? InshaAllah, تَتَّقُونَ, right? Fasting has been prescribed upon you, O believers. Allah is talking to the mu'mineen here. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ Fasting has been prescribed upon you. But don't feel bad. Don't worry. I know it's 45 degrees outside. Allah says, I understand. It's very hot in the summer. Days are very long. You guys in here are lucky actually, because if you're in Canada, you know, they have to fast for 18 hours over there, you know, in the summertime. And at least in here, it's only 15, 16 hours. Allah says, I understand all these things. But don't worry. It was written on the people before you. The generations before you, the nations before you, they had to fast as well. So it is not something that's impossible. It can be done. It's a very beautiful way of Allah speaking to us. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ And what is the point? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ So that you achieve taqwa. And inshallah in a few days, we'll be talking more about taqwa and how to achieve taqwa. But here, this ayah tells us that Ramadan is indeed a time to change from within. And if we take a look at the ahadith, we find that they match this meaning. For example, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his hadith says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ مَرْهُونَ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ فَفُكُّوهَا بِاسْتِغْفَارِكُمْ O people, your souls are in a mortgage. You know when you go to get a house, you have to get a mortgage. When you have a mortgage, who's the owner of the house? Not you, really. The bank is the owner of the house until you can pay off the loan, the mortgage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner of the souls until you can free, liberate your souls from it. And he says, so you can liberate it with your istighfar. فَفُكُوهَا بِاسْتِغْفَارِكُمْ This is coming from the Qur'an. That's the beautiful about the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi majma'in. You know, the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, if you take a look at them, if you read the du'as of Ahlul Bayt, you find that they're coming from the Qur'an. They stem from the Qur'an. For example, du'a al-sabah, that inshallah people read every day. Imam alayhi salam in that du'a has so many verses quoted that people don't even understand maybe. They don't even realize. He says, اللهم واجعل صباحي هذا نازلا علي بضياء الهدى والسلامة ومسائي جنة من كيد العدا ووقاية من مرديات الهوى إنك قادر على ما تشاء تؤتي الملك من تشاء وتنزع الملك ممن تشاء وتعز من تشاء وتذل من تشاء بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير All these are ayat from the Holy Quran. Ahadith of Ahlul Bayt. You know, because some people, the young ones, this is just as a note, especially the youth. Sometimes they ask, why should we read these du'as in Arabic when we don't understand them in Arabic? Yes, it's okay to read the English translation so that you can get some understanding. But the Arabic text is the word of the ma'soom, quoting the ahadith and the ayat of the Quran. The word of the Arabic text is what changes you from within your heart. Maybe you don't even feel it. The Quran, Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we were to reveal this Quran upon a mountain, you'd find it shattering and shaking from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mountain. What about the human being who's got feelings, who's got understandings? But sometimes we don't understand. Unfortunately, the effect is a spiritual effect. You know, when a person gets a headache, that person, when he takes a pill, the headache might stop. You know, will finish. Then he knows that the effect of this headache, you know, this pill will be to stop his headache. He can feel that effect. Now, how does the pill work? He doesn't understand. Most people don't understand how the pill actually works. Why is the headache stopped? Most people don't know. But they know it works. Quran, unfortunately, we may not be able to feel that effect because it is on the spirit, spiritual side. But the effect is there. And some people feel the effect. They may not understand how it works, but it works. The effect is there. That's the verses of the Quran. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll be talking more about the Quran, inshallah, and the greatness of the Quran, the holiness of the Quran, and whom to turn to benefit from the Quran. That will be the topic tomorrow, inshallah. So here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ مَرْهُونَةٌ بِأَعْمَالِكُمْ فَفُكُّوهَا بِاسْتِغْفَارِكُمْ. This is coming from an ayah in Surah Al-Muddathir, ayah number 38. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ رَهِينَ. And there, the meaning of this ayah, my dear brothers and sisters, you know, every soul is mortgaged with whatever action it does. Everything we do is basically an action that either will liberate us or will keep us in prison. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. He has rights over us. He wants us to worship Him. That's what He wants. If a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has the faith, the iman, the taqwa, the piety, follows the path of sirat al-mustaqim, this person will be liberated, insha'Allah, on the day of Qiyamah. That's why when you read about Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, when he was lying there on the plains of Karbala, just few minutes before his death, Imam Al-Husayn, salamullah alayhi, walks to him and gives him, you know, the Medal of Honor. You know how sometimes they give the soldiers the Medal of Honor? Imam Hussein gave him that Medal of Honor. He told him, بَخِنْ بَخِنْ لَكَ يَا حُرْ أَنْتَ الْحُرْ كَمَا سَمَّتْكَ أُمُّكَ حُرٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَسَعِيدٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. حُرْ, congratulations to you. This was just the last words the Hur heard from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Congratulations to you, you are Hur. Hur means a free, Hur. He says, indeed, your mother was right to name you Hur, free man, because you are a free man in dunya and a happy man in akhirah. Free from what? Free from his desires. He has been freed because of his servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's a free man. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to us, O people, your souls are not free. You need to free them with your deeds, and to do that, do istighfar. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we understand, if we turn to Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi al-Nahj al-Balagha, when he heard a man saying istighfar, قال ثكلتك أمك أتدري ما الاستغفار إنها درجة العليين وإنها اسم على وإنه اسم على ستة معان. He says, do you understand what is istighfar? You know, like most of us, you know, we might carry tasbih and say astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah. That's the way we do istighfar. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, this is not the way to do istighfar. Yes, it's good, but understand what you're doing. He tells this man, do you understand that istighfar is the status of those who are high ranks in Jannah, darajatul illiyin, and it is a name that carries six meanings. First of all, nadam, regret for the action that you have done. A lot of times people miss salatul subh, they wake up, they don't even feel it, they don't even think about it. You tell people, why do you miss salatul subh? They say, well, why did Allah create qada? Why is qada? That's why. So that I can miss my salat and then do it qada. Without even feeling the regret that we have slept on a farz, on an obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do. Some of us who work, some of the people who work for a boss, if the boss says, I want to see you tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock in my office because we have an important discussion, there's an important deal that's going to take place, and we must meet at 5 o'clock in the morning, which happens sometimes, especially for those people who do business with other parts of the world, where they have to wake up early in the morning so that they can catch the time. Would you dare to sleep? Would a person dare to sleep and not show up? What will be the consequence? Maybe one day, okay, he'll say, okay, this time, warning. Second time, third time, and mashallah, you know, with this recession thing, everybody will be outside. So, what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is narrated from the son of Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi, rahmatullahi alayhi, may Allah bless his soul, the author of Mafatih al-Jinan. His son says, one day I woke up in the morning and I saw my father crying, weeping, in pain. I said, my father, what is the matter? Are you okay? He said, no, I'm not okay. Why? He said, because tonight I missed Salatul Layl. Salatul Layl. He missed the night prayer. Not Salatul Subuh, Salatul Layl. Yet he felt so much pain for missing Salatul Layl. We disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without even thinking about it. Wal'iyadu billah. Some people listen to the music and they don't even think about it. Not even thinking about it. Some sisters don't wear the hijab and not even think about it. Wal'iyadu billah. That is the scary part, brothers and sisters. When we get to that stage, when we disobey Allah to the extent that we don't even think about that ma'siyah anymore. So regret is the first step. The second step is the determination not to go back to that sin again. You have to be determined. The third step is to go and see which salat, how many salat and siyam and a'mal have you missed. You have to go back and do them over again. The fourth step is to understand what are the huquq of people that you have taken. Are there any khums money that you have not paid? So the imam, you owe imam a lot of money then. You owe a lot of yatims and orphans of Sada money. People, have you paid all this? Zakat. The money that we gain, is it halal? Or is it, wal'iyadu billah, through lies and cheatings and, God forbid, these inappropriate sources? The money that is spent, is it spent in ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with or not? That is the fourth step. The fifth step is any food that you have eaten which is haram, and as a consequence to that food you had gained some weight, you have to lose that weight. This is not through the slim fast diet or the Atkins diet or whatever diet out there. This is coming from a person who is feeling the regret. You know, wal'iyadu billah, God forbid, sometimes when a person hears bad news, wal'iyadu billah, God forbid, say a person's parent might die. That day, the person may not feel like eating, losing the appetite. Not because he's not hungry. He is hungry. But he goes home, they bring him the food is great food. He says, I don't feel like eating today. You know, I'm in such grief, I can't eat. This is the grief of a mu'min doing istighfar. That is the state. Food is there, his appetite is there. But he says, I can't. How can I eat? After eating the haram that I should not have eaten. And the final thing, the final level of istighfar, the sixth state, that you have to make your body taste the difficulty of ibadah just like you made it be happy in tasting the pleasures of disobedience. Yes, a person might be happy listening to this music, enjoying it. At the time when that haram money was coming in, maybe it was joyful, it was really good. Lots of money coming in. So the body was really enjoying it. But now you're going to have to make it taste the difficulty of obedience. You have to tell your body you have to wake up in the middle of the night to pray Salatul Layl. Can you do that? The body will say, no, I can't. You have to say, no, you have no choice. You'll have to wake up. In the month of Rajab, Sha'ban, the whole holy months and other days, you have to tell your body, you know what, you're going to fast today. It's too hot outside, I cannot fast. No, too bad, you're going to have to fast today. That's why in the hadith of the description of the muttaqeen, sermon 193 in Nahjul Balagha, Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi says, among the descriptions, among the characteristics of the muttaqeen are jasaduhu minhu fi ta'ab wa nasu minhu fi raha. His body is always complaining of him, yet people are always pleased and happy with him. That is a true muttaqi. That's a true muttaqi. So, Rasulullah says, you need to relieve yourself and free yourself by doing istighfar. Another when he continues, وَظُهُورُكُمْ ثَقِيلَةٌ مِنْ أَوْزَارِكُمْ فَخَفِّفُوا عَنْهَا بِطُولِ سُجُودِكُمْ. Your backs, this is a metaphor. Your backs are carrying heavy weights of your disobedience, your sins. On the day of Qiyamah, we'll be carrying all that, mashallah, with us. The way to ease that package is by what? Sujood. طُولِ سُجُودِكُمْ. It is narrated in the ahadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Musa. He said, Ya Musa, do you know why did I choose you among the people of your time to be my prophet? He said, no, my Lord. He said, because I looked at the people of the time and I could not find a person who would humiliate himself to me more than you, as you used to wipe your face in the sand for me. That is Musa alayhi salam. And in the ahadith as well, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Ibrahim Khalilullah because of his sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet says, in order to make your sins lighter, do sujood. Allah loves the human being, the mu'min, in sujood. It is the utmost degree of humility. On the contrary, shaitan hates it. Shaitan hates a person when he goes to sujood. You know why? Because that's where he failed. In sujood. That's where he failed. So whenever he sees a person in sujood, he becomes very agitated. يقول يصرخ. He shouts. He cries. And says, ويله. Woe upon this man. He did it and I disobeyed it. He's doing sujood and I disobeyed the sujood. So that is something that needs to be continuous, not just for that period of time. If we take a look at the istighfar, the sujood, this is not only for the month of Ramadan. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya ayyuhan nas, يا أيها الناس من حسن منكم في هذا الشهر خلقه كأن كان له جواز على الصراط. Whomever people, whomever of you can improve his akhlaq, his manners, this would be his passport across the bridge of Sirat on the day of Qiyamah. You read in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, there are three categories on the day of Qiyamah according to Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Three categories of people. First of all, inshallah, you have Surah Al-Waqi'ah memorized, inshallah. Allah says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون في جنات النعيم ثلة من الأولين وقليل من الآخرين. And then there is another category. وأصحاب اليمين ما أصحاب اليمين. And then there is a third category. And that is what? والعياذ بالله وأصحاب الشمال ما أصحاب الشمال. One group are the ones who rush. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Those who rush. Those people who in dunya, they used to rush for good deeds. The time of salat comes, they're the first ones to be sitting, waiting for the time of the salat, for the adhan to say Allahu Akbar, and immediately they will wake up and say their salat. They're ready. When it is time to help the orphan or the poor, they're the first ones to go out and help. When people need help, they're the first to go out and help the mu'mineen. Such individuals are sabiqoon as-sabiqoon. They used to rush. Rush. This is the general meaning of the ayah. The specific meaning of the ayah, a hadith narrated by Ibn Abbas, written and mentioned by Al-Allama Zamakhshari in his tafsir. He says, narrating from Ibn Abbas, read the tafsir of this ayah of Allama Zamakhshari, not a Shia scholar. He says, Ibn Abbas narrates that the Sabiqoon as-Sabiqoon are three people. Mu'min Ali Fir'aun, wa Mu'min Surah Yasin, wa Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Those three people, the Mu'min of Al Fir'aun, Fir'aun's cousin, Hizqeel, Mu'min Ali Yasin, Surah Yasin, Habib al-Najjar, and Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullahi wa salam alayhi. Those people who were the first ones to rush to Iman, to faith. Now, the second category is Ashabul Yameen. Those are the good ones. Alhamdulillah, they will also get across the Sirat. Now, Sabiqoon and Sabiqoon, they might get across the bridge very fast, like thunder, lightning. Like lightning, very quickly. There are people who will get across, in, mashallah, and fast. I don't know, automobiles, Ferraris, Lamborghinis, I don't know what they have back then, inshallah. Some people will have horses, some people will have camels, some people will be walking, some people will be crawling. And some people can make it, they'll just fall off. Wal'ayyadu billah. Those are Ashabul Yameen, those who can make it. You know, at least they can make it. Ashabul Yameen. And then there are those who can't even make it. Those are Ashabul Shimal. So there are three things, three categories. The Prophet says, if you can improve your akhlaq during this month, then it will be your passport to pass quickly, inshallah, on this sirat. Ya ayyuhan nas, man hassana minkum fi hadha shahr khuluqa. Khuluq, yani means akhlaq. The manners. Kana lahu jawazun ala sirat. It will help him pass that sirat, that difficult time. It is said, one day a companion of the Prophet by the name of Sa'd, Sa'd ibn Ma'ad died. And some reports say that he died as a shaheed, a martyr. His mother came and she was very proud. She was very happy. She said, I'm very proud of you, my son. You died before Rasulullah as a mu'min. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did his ghusl. He did his kafan. He buried him. After burial, he turned to his mother and said, Ya Umma Sa'd, don't be so happy. Don't be so pleased. Because right now the grave has crushed the bones of your son like the book. It has closed on him like a book. And she was surprised. She said, Ya Rasulullah, how come? Isn't he a shaheed? Isn't he a martyr? Didn't you just wash him and do his... He said, yes indeed. However, كَانَ سَيِّئَ الْخُلُقْ مَعَ أَهْلِهِ. He had bad manners with his family. You know, so that doesn't matter. His akhlaq is what matters. His akhlaq. And that's why there's a hadith of the Prophet that says, the person who will be closest to me in Jannah is the one of you who's got the best of manners. أحسنكم خلقا. How many of us can control our temper? Or how many of us burst, especially with our parents and our children and our women and our families, we burst, mashallah, like monsters. How many of us disrespect our own parents and shout at them and yell at them? Got to think about all these things, brothers and sisters. Allah says, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. These are all lessons. And Imam al-Sajjad, salamullah alayhi, Allah salamullah alayhi, teaches us, my dear brothers and sisters, if we take a look at his history, how great this man was, this Imam was, among all of them as well. They all had this great akhlaq. But it is said that when he was in Sham, just about to enter, a man came to him and he said, you, alhamdulillah, Allah killed you and your families and wiped you out. You were rising against Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, the Khalifa. You were disrupting the peace. All this propaganda that was said at the time. Now, Imam was in a difficult situation at the time. Difficult. Imam al-Baqir says, when he buried his father, Imam al-Sajjad, they saw him crying. They said, why are you crying? He said, because I saw the chains, you know, the signs of the chains, the black on my father's neck from 30 years ago. 30 years later. And these chains are still, the marks of the chains are still on the Imam's neck. He said, I saw those marks on my father's neck. So what was he going through at the time when he had them on his neck? He was in that state. And he knows himself as an Imam al-Ma'soom, an infallible Imam. He knows that if he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now to crush this man, Allah will crush him. Yet, what does he do? With all humbleness, he says, Ya Shaykh, hal qara'at al-Qur'an? Shaykh, have you read the Qur'an? He said, yes, but what do you have to do with the Qur'an? You guys are foreigners, outsiders. He said, Ya Shaykh, have you come across the ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا He said, yes. He said, Ya Shaykh, we are Ahlul Bayt, الَّذِينَ أَذْهَبَ اللَّهِ عَنَّا الرِّجْسَ وَطَهَّرَنَا تَطْهِيرًا We are the ones who have been purified. Ya Shaykh, have you read the ayah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى He said, yes. He said, Ya Shaykh, we are the wil qurba. We are the kin. We are the family of Rasulullah. So this man was surprised, was shocked. قَالَ بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ أَنْتُمْ هُمْ You are the family? He said, إِي وَحَقَّ جَدِّي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Yes, I swear by my grandfather, Rasulullah. We are the family of Rasulullah. So this man changes 180 degrees. And then the guards capture him and they kill him. He dies as a shaheed. So this is what the akhlaq can do, my dear brothers and sisters. How many of us have this habit of getting angry and losing our temper? How many of us have the habit of wal'ayadu billah doing ghibah without even thinking about it? It's becoming like chewing gum, you know, chewing gum. People have it in their mouths and they talk about it. So it is a time, my dear brothers and dear sisters, to think about these things. And then Rasulullah continues in his hadith, he says, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ أَبْوَابَ الْجِنَانِ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرِ مُفَتَّحَ فَسَلُوا رَبَّكُمْ أَنْ لَا يُغْلِقُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ وأبواب النيران مغلقة فسلوا ربكم أن لا يفتحها عليكم والشياطين مغلولة فسلوا ربكم أن لا يسلطها عليكم O people, the gates of paradise during this month are open, so ask Allah not to close it on you or to close them on you. The gates of the hellfire are closed, ask Allah not to open them on you. And the devils or the shayateen are all chained, so ask Allah not to enable them to get hold of you. What does this mean, brothers and sisters? This is telling us that Ramadan is indeed a time of self-discovery and self-change. When a human being understands and gets the change from within, it means whatever happens in Ramadan does not just end in Ramadan. When we pray Salatul Layl, not only in Ramadan, when we read the Qur'an, inshaAllah, and we have these Qur'an sessions, not only in Ramadan. This has to continue throughout the year. And that's why in the dua of welcoming Ramadan of Imam al-Sajjad, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he says, after reading the dua, and if you read the dua, inshaAllah, towards the end of it, after asking Allah for all these things, forgiveness, rahmah, maghfirah, to be maintaining all that, he says, Allahumma waj'alna fi sa'ir shuhur kadhalika ma'ammartana. He says, Oh my Lord, and make us in the remaining months, in the other months, just like this, as long as you keep us alive. In other words, throughout the year, that change should be maintained. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters, it is a time when we have to think and reflect. A time of self-discovery. That's why the hadith says, whomever discovers his self has discovered his Lord. من عرف نفسه عرف ربه. He will understand his Lord because he knows how weak this person is. He will understand how great his Creator is. And that's why when he understands how great the Creator is, he will never disobey. سبحانك عجبا من عرفك كيف لا يخابك. Glorified be you in Dua Sabah. Glorified be you. How could be the one who understands who you are, who knows you, not to fear you? How could a person who knows Allah disobey Allah? That's why, my dear brothers and sisters, it is a time for us to think and reflect. How can we impose this change from within ourselves? And the best way to do it is Quran, to turn to the Quran. And that is why, inshallah, over the next 2 weeks, we'll be going over Surah Al-Mu'minun. The first 2 weeks, inshallah, of Ramadan, we'll be going whatever we can of Surah Al-Mu'minun, a beautiful surah that helps us understand how can we obey our Lord and walk onto the Sirat Al-Mustaqim. So tomorrow, inshallah, we'll discuss about the Quran, and then, inshallah, we'll get about the tafsir of Surah Al-Mu'minun in the day after, inshallah. But my dear brothers and my dear sisters, I'll leave you tonight, inshallah, with this. We are coming, inshallah, soon to the month of Ramadan, soon. We're at this gate. So starting tonight, train yourselves for these a'mal. Train yourselves for Salatul Layl. Don't let go of it. You wake up for suhoor. When you finish your suhoor, make sure you have your wudu ready. When you finish your suhoor, there is that imsak time, you know, the 10 minutes or 15 minutes between subuh and before subuh. That's 15, 10 minutes. You have your wudu ready, go and pray Salatul Layl. Get Salatul Layl done in that 10, 15 minutes. I mean, if you can wake up earlier, it's even better. And to do the whole Salat, the whole 11 rak'ah. If you can, the last 3 rak'ahs, these last 10 minutes. Don't let it go of it. After the Salat, don't immediately go back and sleep. Pick up the Qur'an and see, read a few verses of the Qur'an. See, what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us on that day? What is Allah talking to us about on that day? These a'mal are important, my dear brothers and my dear sisters, very important. On the day of Ashura, you know, on that whole difficulty, when everything was so difficult, at night, even then at night, Ahlul Bayt did not leave their Salat and their Ibadah. In fact, Zainab alayhi salam was seen praying Salatul Layl. Imam al-Sajjad says, I saw her praying, but there was a change. Something was different this time. Every night when my aunt Zainab used to pray Salatul Layl, she'd be standing. Tonight she's sitting. So, and I went and I asked, Ya Amma, why are you sitting down? This is so that we can learn. Not that he needs to learn. She said, my dear nephew, from the tragedies that I have witnessed from running around the children and the women, it had left me with no powers, no powers. At the time when the night came, she started looking around, she found that Rabab, the mother of Abdullah al-Radi' or Ali al-Asghar al-Radi', that boy was gone. So she looked around and she went to the battlefield. She saw her with her baby, carrying the baby. She said, Ya Rabab, what brought you here in the middle of the night? She said, Zainab, when I had the water, when I drank the water, I started feeling the milk. And when I felt the milk, I thought maybe my baby is alive to come and have some of this milk. It is difficult for a mother. If I had known that he would be losing his life for water, I would have given him my own tears to drink from. And then she looked around and she could not find Sukaina. Then she came to the battlefield. She saw Sukaina hugging the body of her father, Imam Hussein alayhi salam. She said, Ya Sukaina, what brought you over here? She said, Amma Zainab, when the army started burning our tents, I thought I will run to my father to save us. I will run to my father to take care of us. But when I arrived to my father, I saw a body without a head, a body full of arrows and spears. So I thought I will hug my father to protect me. أبتاه من الذي حز وريدك أبتاه من الذي خضب شيبتك
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين.
Brothers and sisters, raise your hand for dua. On these holy nights, inshallah, we have many people who are in need. We have several individuals who are sick, and they've asked us for relief of their sickness. There's one young girl as well. Raise your hands for dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم 10 times يا الله 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 إلهي بفاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اكشف عنا السوء يا الله اقضي حوائج المحتاجين يا الله شافي وعافي جميع المرضى يا الله على الخصوص من أوصونا بالدعاء منهم اللهم ألبسهم لباس العافية يا الله اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا يا الله كفر عنا سيئاتنا يا الله وتوفنا مع الأبرار يا الله مع محمد وآله الأطهار يا الله اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج واجعلنا من شيعته وأنصاره وأعوانه اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أرنا الطلعة الرشيدة والغرة الحميدة واكحل أنظارنا بنظرة منا إليك اللهم إنا نقسم عليك بالزهراء فاطمة إلا ما رزقتنا شفاعة الزهراء يا الله يا الله يا الله لقضاء الحوائج ولشفاء المرضى وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة مع الصلوات